Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Bible, as you know, from beginning to end, is a very special book. And yet there are particular parts of it, various texts in it, that stand out. There are different sections and pieces of the Word of God that, because of their content, because of who speaks them, because of what they say, they come across to us in such a way that they leave their mark. And we cannot easily forget them. They are what you could say, most beautiful and out of this world wonderful kinds of texts. I'm sure that we can all come up with various examples. Let me give you a few. For example, John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who can listen to a text like that? Come across a text like that and not be stirred deep within. What an amazing word John 3:16 is. Or take Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Again, what a text. And there are many, many others. We have one such text before us this evening, John 7, 37 through 39. Let me read it again for you. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Surely this text belongs to that special class of texts that we say are most beautiful and really out of this world wonderful. If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. How richly these words present the Lord Jesus Christ to us. How freely he offers himself to us. Yes, here we can say we find Jesus so rich and so free. And that is really what I have for you this evening. That is my message from this part of the Word of God. And as such, it is nothing new. And yet maybe tonight it will be new. Maybe for you in the very first sort of way, or else in a renewed sort of way. Jesus, so rich and free. Three things to highlight. First of all, the picture. In other words, the picture that Jesus presents to us. And it is quite simply the picture of him as all-satisfying and ever-sanctifying Savior and Lord. It is the picture of poor and needy sinners like ourselves coming to him. Coming to him as if he were a fountain and drinking from that fountain. And when they do so, they live. Oh, how they live. And not only do they live, but they become fountains themselves. Fountains of blessings to others all around them and beyond. Let us see that in the text. Verse 37, Jesus talks about the thirsty. If any man thirst, he says. Now we know, and we read that together, this is not the first time that Jesus talks in this manner. John chapter 4, when he meets this woman at the well, and Jesus says to her, give me something to drink. And that ignites a conversation. And as it turns out, instead of the woman giving to Jesus a drink of earthly water, or we don't read of that as such, but he offers her heavenly water instead. Or as he calls it, living water. And what water that is, as Jesus describes it in John chapter 4 and verse 14. He says, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will become in him that water a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And so Jesus is saying to this woman and to all really who will hear him, if you are thirsty, come to me. I'll give you a water that will so satisfy you, you will never really be thirsty ever again. It will become in you a fountain springing up to everlasting life. In John 4, Jesus offers this water to a Samaritan woman. And in John 7, our text, he offers it to anyone who is thirsty. And in verse 38 of John 7, he makes clear that it's the same water that he's talking about as in John 4. Living water. But now, what is this living water? And what does it mean to come to Jesus and to drink? We have to ask those questions also because the Lord Jesus no longer is with us in the flesh, in the body. He is now at the right hand of his Father, and we cannot in that sense go to him and drink. So what does it mean? How do we apply this word to today? And what exactly is living water? Well, we only have to listen to Jesus himself in verse 38 because he explains himself there. He says, he who believes in me. And what he is doing is describing there what it means to come to him and to drink. We have to understand that Jesus is using imagery. And by means of the imagery, he is seeking to make concrete what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can so easily toss out there, believe in Christ. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's like going to him and drinking from him. With this imagery, Jesus is vividly setting forth to us what faith is like. When we believe in Christ, we're not simply to nod to some truth. It's easy to ascend to various points of doctrine. But faith is more than that. As you know, faith is really entering into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is coming to acknowledge him, to submit to him, to receive even from him. Come to me, he says, and drink. And the idea is that we're to be so in attachment or association with him that there's him giving him something. It's not just, oh, I believe that. It's I believe into him and all that he is and gives. And what he gives is living water, or water that lives, or water that enables us to live. And isn't that true? When we know the gospel, we know that the Lord Jesus has come to secure pardon for sinners and to bring peace between sinful men and women and the living God. We know that the Lord Jesus has come to bring power into the lives of sinners, renewing and sanctifying power. We know that to drink of him and of his water that he gives really is to receive the forgiveness of sins and righteousness with which we may come into the presence of God. To drink of this living water is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our shield, as our help, as our strength. Peter tells us that Jesus died as the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And he does so in terms of a restored relationship. He also does so at the end of time, or at the end of our time, and ultimately at the resurrection, bringing us into the presence of God, where we are told there is only joy. Fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. This is the living water that Jesus supplies. It is the water of deliverance, of victory, of life, of communion, of joy, of peace, of fellowship with the living God. It is water that enables us to live as the Lord God really meant us to live when he first created us. Come to me and drink. Come to me, believe in me. Well, that's part of the picture that the Lord Jesus is presenting of himself. And we are seeing his richness. If any man thirsts, he will satisfy that thirst. But there is more to the picture, isn't there? And verse 38 brings that out especially. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, two things about that text to get out of the way and then to hear the main thrust of it. In the first place, what scripture? As the scripture has said, Jesus says that. So we say, what scripture? And here it's a bit difficult because we can't find in the Old Testament any scripture that says, when you become a believer, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. There's no specific text that Jesus is quoting. So when he says, as the scripture has said, what scripture? Well, here we have to refer to what's really a theme in the Old Testament. A theme that ties together water and the Holy Spirit and the blessing of and through believers that the Lord seeks to bring about. And I want to give you three texts that we can refer to here. Isaiah 12, verse 3, speaking of the new day, of the day of deliverance. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. There's imagery there, isn't there? Similar to our text. Isaiah 44, verse 3. The Lord says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed, and my blessing upon your offspring. And then there is Isaiah 58, verse 11. And the Lord shall guide you continually, and satisfy your soul in drought, and make fat your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And see, these are words in the Old Testament expressing something of the fullness of the blessings that God's people may experience and enjoy. And there is this rich scriptural line then that talks about water and the Holy Spirit and blessing. And Jesus is referring to all of this when he's saying, as the scripture has said, he's speaking generally or generically of this line that's in scripture throughout. So that's the first thing to clear out of the way. The second thing is, what exactly does verse 38 mean? Especially when it says, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. It's a bit of a strange expression, isn't it? Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Here's how a more modern paraphrase has it. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in Jesus. What Jesus is saying is that when you drink the water that he gives, not only do you enjoy the fountain, you yourself become a fountain. When you are a Christian, then out of you, from within you, from very deep inside you, wells up a stream of blessings. So that to be a Christian means more than that you get blessed. It means that you are to become a blessing. You don't only receive divine life, but you are to share that life, to overflow with that life to others. And the text confirms that that is indeed what Jesus means when John tells us in verse 39 that Jesus was referring there to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified, but the Holy Spirit who would soon be given and believers would receive him. And of course that is true, isn't it? Jesus spoke these words in John 7. By the end of John, Jesus has been crucified. He has risen again and he appears to his disciples in the upper room and he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And after he ascends to heaven, Pentecost occurs, and the Holy Spirit is, as we're told in Acts 2, poured out upon the fledgling church. And the apostles become new men. They begin to preach the word of God in all boldness, with courage and power and zeal, and with great blessing from heaven. And the whole early church is characterized with this excellence of fellowship and witness and love. And all of it is through the power and the strength of the indwelling Holy Spirit. He was given to them. He filled them. They received him. And out of them flowed rivers of living water. And the point now is to see that this is what the Lord Jesus does. This is what he gives. This is what he brings about in the lives of all who believe in him. How rich he is. How rich he must be. Just to satisfy sinners like us, but then also through the Holy Spirit to send us out into the world and to say, you're now to overflow with all that I've given you. Rivers are to come out of your life. The Apostle Paul, he says in 2 Corinthians 3 that believers become the fragrance of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3, we're to grow into the likeness of Christ. And here in John 7, we are like fountains in this world, refreshing and blessing others. What richness. What richness is to be found in and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how big his vision is. Because when he talks about this blessing that believers are to be, he says, he that believes on me, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Not simply a trickle of drops here and there, or a creek, or a stream, or even a river, but rivers, plural. Do you think about the rivers that you have seen in your life? Some rivers are mighty rivers, aren't they? And here is Jesus, and he is saying, rivers are to come out of your life when you come to me and drink from me. In other words, he summons us to himself, to a life of unending satisfaction and abounding fruitfulness. And what it means is that in the lives of Christian believers, more and more we're to see rivers of kindness pouring forth, and rivers of compassion, and rivers of love, and rivers of zeal, and rivers of holiness, and rivers of worship, and rivers of righteousness. All coming out of Christians. And we trace it all back to the Lord Jesus and to the living water that he offers, to the thirsty. Well, here is Jesus so rich. This is the picture. This is the picture that we find in our text. Second point, the price. Because we have to ask the question, how do we get this living water? What do we have to pay for it? If it is as grand as it certainly seems to be, it must not be cheap. It must be water that costs a whole sum of money or a whole life of devotion or something. What's the price? Well, the text does not explicitly tell us, not this text. But there is an implication that is borne out by the rest of Scripture. And let's start with John 7. Jesus says, if any man thirsts, let him pay some money and drink. No, let him come to me and drink. You've got to forego all the water of the world. Okay, that's the price. Maybe. Not really, because that water is nothing in comparison to this water. But you just let that go. You come to Christ and you drink. In other words, it's free. It's free. And here we can think of how the Lord Jesus is really echoing Isaiah 55 verse 1. Another text that you can't forget. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he that has no money, come, buy and eat. He that has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's free. He's free. This rich, rich Jesus, rich beyond words. He's free. You just come to him and he'll nourish you and he'll satisfy you and he'll bless you and he'll use you. He's free. Well, John 7, what about Revelation 21? I will give to him who thirsts of the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. Let him who is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, says John. So you can check all over the Bible. In terms of the price, you don't have to pay a thing. You can't pay a thing. But that's not all we can say concerning the price, because it is right to think that such water must not be cheap. Such water, for all that it is and does, must cost something. We are right to think that way, and then if we don't have to pay, who does? How do we get it? Well, that's the second thing to notice about this price. And John refers to it in verse 39 when he talks about the Lord Jesus not yet being glorified. Not yet being glorified. What does that mean? We might think that it means that Jesus has not gone yet to heaven, and that's true. But it means more than that. Or we have to think about not just that he hasn't gone to heaven, but that whole way that he was to go to heaven. A way that for Jesus climaxed at Calvary. On the cross, where he suffered and died in the place of sinners, and where he bore the wrath of the Holy Father, the wrath that we deserve on account of our sin. So go in your mind to that moment when he's on the cross, when he has been hanging there, when there has been darkness over the face of the earth, at least at that place where the Lord Jesus was suffering, and the sun was hidden from view. And there was an eeriness that was all around. And of course, there was that awful cry that came from the Lord Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then there was another cry. And John, the gospel writer John, tells us in John 19, that at a certain moment, Jesus said this. He said, I thirst. Now you just think about that for a moment. Here is the incarnate Son of God, the wisdom of God, the exact image and representation of God. He, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, created water. This is the Lord Jesus on the cross. He has in his life and ministry said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink, and I'll give you water that will satisfy you forever. This is the Lord Jesus, and now he is on the cross, and he of all people has to utter this word, I am thirsty. Now it's not the first time he was thirsty. John 4, give me to drink, remember, to the woman. He was a man like we are, and he was thirsty. But this thirst on the cross was altogether different, deeper, far more profound. Yes, he was physically thirsty. He must have been awfully thirsty in terms of his physique, in terms of what he was agonizing through physically. But he was also spiritually thirsty. He had to be. He was thirsty for water, yes. He was thirsty for his Father. He was thirsty for life, for true and eternal life. He had been tasting the fires of God's wrath. He had been suffering the hotness of hell. He was all alone in his agony and terror, bearing the judgment that we cannot imagine even. We just get glimpses into it when he speaks, also when he speaks this word. And he says, I thirst. I am thirsty. Do you know what he was doing? He was thirsting. So that when he says, you come to me and you drink and you'll never be thirsty again. He was thirsting so that he could follow through on what he had offered to that woman and to any and every thirsty man. See, there was a price. And he paid the price. He bought the water. He bought the blessing. He bought the Holy Spirit. He purchased him through his suffering and death and resurrection. And it is in view of what he was about to do that he could say what he did. And it is because he did what he did that he can continue to proclaim to us Indeed, he has been proclaiming it through the ages and all over the world for any to hear. If any man thirst, come and drink. Oh, what a word this is. The picture, the price, and finally yet, the point. That is the point for you and the point for me. See, we have this great text and this wonderful picture. And the price, it's free because he paid the price. Jesus, so rich and so free. That's the theme, remember? Jesus, so rich and so free. What's the point? The point is, go to him. The point is, let's be drinking from him. See, Jesus is inviting you. He is calling you. These aren't just words on a page that we say, oh, that's nice. Study them, talk about them. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Of course, here is where we meet the problem. If any man thirst. Who's thirsty? Who's really thirsty? In this passage that we read together, it's very interesting. It's very, very sad. We're told that Jesus says these words on the last day, the great day of the feast. So this was a time, it was the Feast of Tabernacles. It was one of the highlights of the Jewish year. It's kind of like our Thanksgiving Day, end of harvest. They especially remembered God's care in the wilderness. If they were doing the way that God intended, they would build these booths in tents and live in tents for a week. And it was a time of joy, and it was a time when Jerusalem would be full of people. The temple courts would be full of people. And it was the last day, the great day of the feast. So it's the climactic moment, and Jesus chooses then to stand up and to cry out. So this was a public announcement. So many could hear him. And what happens? They have an argument. Verse 40. Many people said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said? And so on. And verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of him. And verse 44, some even wanted to take him, arrest him. No one, it seems, came to him. Why not? They weren't thirsty. If any man thirst. See, they thought he was interesting. They thought he was unique. They thought he was provocative. They didn't see that he was vital. They didn't need him. They weren't thirsty, and they weren't thirsty because they were full of themselves. They were full of their life of sin, really, and service to self and Satan. They spent their days doing their thing. Their thing included religion. These were covenant people that the Lord Jesus spoke to. But their life was entirely orientated around themselves, around their sin, around their treasures and pleasures, around all the water of this world. They had no need for Jesus, not conscious need for Christ. You could say they were thirsty, because everyone is thirsty by nature. Everyone longs for something or someone outside of himself. It's part of who we are as creatures made in the image of God. Yes, lost that image in the fall, but something of it remains. There are remnants. God has created us for himself. And like Augustine said so many years ago, our souls are restless. And we just have to look around the world to see that. Maybe look inside. Here were these people and they were restless. What were they doing? They were seeking to satisfy their thirst through all the water of this world. And they thought that it was working. They thought that they were living. They thought that they really had it. But the only problem was they were drinking not living water, but dead water. The water of sin and self and death ultimately. Well, I said, just look around the world. It's happening all the time. Have you seen it in your own life? And do you understand yourself also in terms of this reality that that there's an emptiness in your life apart from the Lord? And have you also seen how we have such a tendency to substitute? Yes, we're thirsty, but we reach for this and for that and for all kinds of other things, and we pour them into our life and we think that that will really do it. Things like, well, they can be good things. Things like sports, academics, technology, relationships, career, family, music, all good things. But we can so focus on them and seek to have them in our life in such a way that they are what we live for. It can be also forbidden things. It can be illegal drugs or the excessive use of alcohol or immorality. And these things, this water that we look for that's from the world, we try it, we think it will satisfy us, and maybe for a few moments it does, because sin does have pleasure. The Bible says that. It's passing pleasure, momentary, fleeting pleasure, but it does have pleasure, and there's pleasure also in legitimate things. But what happens again and again? They come up empty, or we come up empty, and we come up thirsty again, and we turn to this, and then we turn to that, and then we turn to something else. And really the call of our text is to realize, to become conscious of and desperate for the Lord Jesus and the water that he gives. To say like the psalmist, my soul thirsts for you, O God. Yes, let us thirst for life in the Lord and life through the Lord and life for him. Let a text like this one awaken or else deepen our thirst for God in Christ and for the living water that he gives. Don't we become thirsty like that when we start to know who he is and come to see who we are and how much we need him? And doesn't a text like this even help to provoke it in us? If any man thirst, and you say, am I thirsty? Maybe I should be thirsty. Oh, that's my problem. I'm thirsty. And then Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He's calling. He's calling you. He's calling us. No one can say, I'm not included. You can't get out of if any man thirst. It's to all who would hear and who would recognize that without Jesus, they will die. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. See, this is Jesus. And I'm saying, scripture is saying, he is so rich and so free. And hearing him, let us go to him. You may. You must. If you don't, you'll always be thirsty. And someday in hell, there will be nothing to drink. You won't even be able to begin to quench your thirst. Thirst in every sense of the word. Remember that parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and how that rich man could not even receive a drop of water to cool his tongue. We cannot imagine, nor do we have to, because of the rest of scripture, because of a text like this one. If any man thirst, let him come to me and let him drink. What refreshment Jesus gives, even for as many as come to him and believe in him. Let us turn away from all others, all other water, and turn again and again to the Lord Jesus, who satisfies and who enriches and who sanctifies and who makes to flow out of our life rivers of living water. And who holds out to us the prospect, as recorded in Revelation 7 verse 16, concerning the saints of God in the new heavens and new earth, they shall not be thirsty anymore. Anymore. All through Jesus, who is so rich and so free. Amen.